Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope you are enjoying the spring. We've got with us today a very special guest. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to sit down with a number of head football coaches in university places. Did an interview with Chan Gailey when he was at Georgia Tech. Did an interview with Tommy Tuberville on Face to Face when he was at Auburn. And today we have a Big Ten coach with us, Tom Allen, who's the new head coach of Indiana University, the Hoosiers. And Tom came in kind of an interesting situation. He's been the defensive coordinator there for a couple of years. And at the end of the 2016 season, Kevin Wilson, the head coach of Indiana, was released, but the Hoosiers were going to a bowl. So Tom Allen had about 3 weeks to prepare to play in the Foster Farms Bowl, took over a team and had to get them ready, and they almost won it. They played Utah, and they played out in San Francisco, or close to San Francisco, in Santa Clara. It actually used to be the old San Francisco Bowl, and they played in Levi's Stadium, where the San Francisco 49ers play, and they lost the game 26-24, and it was kind of a game where you got thrown into the fire all of a sudden for Tom Allen and the Hoosiers. But he kind of knew what was going on because he'd been around, of course, the whole year as a defensive coordinator, and the Hoosiers almost pulled it off. But Tom Allen is getting ready for his first full season with the Indiana Hoosiers, and we had the chance to sit down with him in his office that overlooks the field at Indiana. And Tom's been one of those guys that certainly has come up the ladder as far as coaching goes. He's been in the coaching business since 1992, came out of Newcastle, Indiana, and he has been a coach at the high school level at Temple Heights High School in Florida, at Armwood Heights High School, Marion High School in Indiana, Ben Davis High School. He was a head coach at Ben Davis. Then he was at Wabash College, Lambeth, Drake, Arkansas State, Ole Miss, South Florida, and finally at Indiana. And I think he's going to do a great job. Indiana University seems to be on the cusp of having a great team. Of course, they are in the Big Ten. And they are in a situation where week in and week out, you're running into great teams when you get into the conference, whether it be Michigan or Ohio State or Michigan State, Penn State, even Northwestern has done well. So Iowa, you can't forget them. They are it's a good conference to be in, and yet Tom Allen is one of those guys who is committed to sharing his faith. So we had an opportunity to sit down with Tom the other day, a great time, and talk about not only what it's like to be the head coach at Indiana University, but also how his Christian faith plays into all that. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Tom Allen, the head coach of the Indiana University Hoosiers. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Tom Allen, the new head coach, head football coach at Indiana University. Tom, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
You're welcome. Excited to be here.
You were thrown right into this position. You'd never been a head coach at a major college, and all of a sudden you get 3 weeks to prepare, and you're on your way to a bowl game. Tell me about the transition. What was that like?
Well, it was pretty fast and furious in the beginning. A lot of decisions to be made pretty quickly, and it was not an easy time for sure, but it happened so fast, and we had so much to do right away with the bowl game that you just kind of roll your sleeves up and go to work. You don't have much time to kind of think, you just react.
And one of the things, of course, that was really good was you knew your players very, very well. I know you were the defensive coordinator, but of course, did you have to learn the offense real quick, or did you just kind of keep going the way you were going and just kind of turn that over to your offensive leaders?
We did. You know, I did not get involved offensively. We pretty much practiced the same way. I did not coach a position on defense, so really that structure didn't change at all. And then Kevin Johns stayed on as the OC and just called it throughout the bowl season and all those practices. So it was pretty smooth.
Anytime you get an opening in a position like this, a Big Ten school, there's usually a lot of candidates that come in. There's usually a lot of tension as to who's going to be the next coach. IU just quickly gave you the position, not even as an interim. They named you the head coach. That had to really give you a lot of confidence that the school was behind you.
It did, you know, and they didn't really waver or flinch on that. You know, we basically embraced that from the beginning and we're very appreciative of their confidence and just wanted to do a great job for the university and for our whole state.
Tell me, you're a Hoosier native. Mm-hmm. You have been all over the country. You've been in a number of different schools, a number of different places. What does it mean as a Hoosier to be the head coach of the Indiana University football program?
You know, it means a lot. It really does. And just my history in this state and my dad being a longtime high school coach and being born and raised here just has just a lot of state pride, you know, and I've always been a big fan of the Hoosiers and what Coach Mallory when I was younger and what he did here and then the different coaches along the way and a huge fan of Coach Hep, my dad, and he were close friends. And Coach Lynch was another guy I knew extremely well. And so just have kind of always been connected with the program in a lot of different ways, but to be able to represent all those in the past, and Coach Corso included, and just to be able to represent our entire state and be able to be in this role is a tremendous blessing and honor all at the same time.
Let's go back a little bit back to your high school days, back to you grew up in Newcastle, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell me about what memories you have about high school football in Newcastle.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, my hero was Mike Kovaleski. You know, he played for my dad and Coach Surface and went on to Notre Dame, be a four-year starter at middle linebacker. He was a high school All-American. And so wore his number when I in getting up in high school, and he was 34, and that's what I wore because of him. And so it was interesting when he was a great player, obviously tailback, linebacker. He also kicked field goals and extra points. And so I kept his shoe. He had one of those block shoes that he wore and always had to switch the shoe out. So I was the kid that ran out there and took his shoe to him. You know, he would change it out on the field and go kick a field goal or kick an extra point. So, but then had a chance to play for my dad, you know, which is always a special time and a lot of great memories. And he's an awesome person and my number one fan.
Over the last 20 years, you've hit about every rung on the ladder, starting out as a high school coach down in Florida, moving up to a number of different schools at different levels, and then getting to this position. Does the coaching philosophy change from working with high school kids and working with non-scholarship kids and then here? Does your coaching philosophy change any?
No, I don't think so. I think how you build a team, how you motivate, how you lead, the things that you feel are foundational to that, doesn't change at all. You know, they're just bigger, faster, stronger, and there's more people in the stands.
How about the type of kid that you work with? Of course, when you're here, you're working with kids that have pretty well been at the top level all the way along. And when you're at a high school, as you were down in Florida, mm-hmm. you get kids that are just kind of coming along. So I know that you say they're just a little bit bigger, faster, stronger, but do you sometimes look back and think about the times that you had high school kids and some of the things that you had to teach them that you don't teach now?
Well, as far as how you teach it, I think that's the part that's consistent. Your leadership style, the way you relate to them, the way you motivate them, I think those are consistent things. But you know, what they bring to the table, you know, I think it affects, you know, I've even coached at different types of high schools as far as some have better athletes and lesser athletes. And you really have to learn to adapt your scheme to what your kids can do in high school because you can't go out and recruit them, you know. So I think it in some ways helps you become a better coach because you have to be very flexible, very versatile, you just can't say, hey, this is our system, we're going to run it regardless. You know, you're going to match your system with what your players can do, and you have to make change every single year. So then when you get them to college, you can recruit down to that system that you have. And so I think that getting them to play hard and getting them to maximize everything God's given them, that doesn't change, you know. And so I think that but you learn how to do that in a lot of different ways because you get kids with all different motives for why they play the game in high school. And in college, it's a little more focused, a little more driven group of guys that are kind of coming for a similar reason. And I think that but to me, I just haven't noticed a major difference from whether I'm coaching at Temple Heights in Tampa, Florida, which is a 2A high school, to Ben Davis, to Lambeth, to Arkansas State, to Indiana, Ole Miss. I think that coaching kids is coaching kids.
Yeah, recruiting is a big part, of course. It's a huge part. How about the recruiting? Do you enjoy the recruiting part of getting out on the road, or is that just kind of go with the territory?
You know, I think that I definitely enjoy it, but I think there's parts of it that everybody gets a little weary of at times. What I love is I do love going out and being in the schools. I love seeing all the coaches, and I think part of that's just being raised in the school, my dad being a part of the high school. Just I enjoy that environment. I enjoy going watching high school games. You know, I think social media part of it, I think every coach would tell you it gets a little bit, you know, too much, you know, at times. I'm sure the recruits probably feel the same way, you know, because we're always pestering them too. But I really enjoy the relationships, getting to know the families, getting to know the players, and just sharing. And when you believe so strongly and what you're building and the way you're building it, sharing that vision of that is exciting to me.
I know that you're, of course, an Indiana native, mm-hmm. Indiana football. How about what the relationship with the coaches here? That's got to be really important to get around. Mm-hmm. And particularly since you were the head coach at Ben Davis and you know all the coaches here, that kind of must give you somewhat of an advantage as you're here.
It sure can, you know, because it's about relationships, you know, and about anything in life, and especially recruiting. And so knowing the head coach well, oftentimes know, you know, family members of a certain recruit, you know, maybe know his parents, you know. And so just those relationships are very, very helpful. And being a 10-year high school coach in Indiana, and even beyond that with my dad's connections and people he knows too, is a real positive thing, and I think it helps us in recruiting.
Defense is your key. You're a defensive specialist here. I think you've got something, schools that you've been at, I've seen something like a winning percentage of 76%. Indiana had a couple of rough years before you came defensively. I think they were something like 120th in the nation. You took them to 35th. What's your secret? What's your secret defensively?
Well, I think, you know, I've learned to keep it simple, get the kids to believe, and get the kids to play their tails off for each other. And to me, you can't oversimplify it. You know, there's not usually just one thing. But I think a big part of it is the relationships that we build, you know, as a coach, as a staff, defensively, and making sure they know that it's way more about them as a person than them as a player, and that we value them way beyond the game of football. And if their value is just all about football, I think it affects the way they respond to you. It's almost like you're just using them for some, you know, means to an end. Whereas when they really believe that you care about them way more as a person than as a player, I think it affects the way they respond to you. And I think that's kind of been a consistent theme, you know, of the places we've been where we've had a chance to improve some teams and get a positive result on Saturday.
Tom Allen, the head coach of Indiana University, is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about him personally. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Tom Allen, the head football coach at Indiana University. And Tom, I know that Jesus Christ is primary in your life. How does that manifest itself in your coaching?
Well, I think that and even when Coach Wilson hired me, we talked about my faith and how that it would be woven into everything that I do. I said I believe in leading through biblical principles, and everything that I do foundationally is really found in Scripture. And I think coaching from the heart to the heart is that key component, and being able to relate to our players from a spiritual perspective. And, you know, I don't force it on them, you know, but I'm very open about what I believe, and I challenge them, what do you believe, you know? And you got to learn to have a life that's filled with conviction. You know, what do you believe in? What are you willing to die for? What are you living for? And I think there's just an innate desire to want to know that, you know? And so I really, from a one-on-one perspective, you know, I try to dive into their lives and help them, you know, become the kind of man I believe God's created them to be. And so, to me, that's foundational for me to build that relationship. You know, I take prayer requests from our guys consistently and praying for them, and that gets a personal level with their family, and guys feel free to share those, and they don't have to, you know, but they often choose to, and they appreciate caring about him beyond the field, you know. And so to me, that relationship that I have with Christ and how I want to be able to live for him and be an example for him to our players is important to me.
And do you see changes? Do you see kids affected by the by that fact, not just from what you teach them on the football field, but what you see off the field? Do you see some changes as a result of that?
You do, because, you know, life's about choices, you know, and I tell our guys that all the time. You know, we're responsible for those consequences that are created because of those choices, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and so we're trying to do everything we can to help them make quality decisions in life. And to me, when you get have a chance to, if they allow us to be able to help them make decisions with Scripture and the truth of Scripture in mind, it will help them make better decisions, I believe, and it'll also allow them to make decisions that are going to have an eternal value, which at the end of the day is what's most important to me.
Tell me how Jesus Christ came to be a part, not a part, the, mm-hmm. the complete part of your life.
When I was a boy, my parents raised us going to church, but that isn't the final piece. You know, to me, it has to be a personal relationship with Jesus. And so when I was 8 years old, you know, through the influence of my mom, she helped guide me to Christ and be able to teach me that it was about accepting him as personal Lord and Savior and asking him to forgive me for my sins and living my life for him. And so at a young age, I was able to do that. And our church that we were going to at the time, we as a whole family, end up going together and getting baptized as a family and believer's baptism and then be able to live a life that honored him, you know. And I was blessed to have two parents that loved the Lord and just raised us in a way that they taught us how to follow him and put him first in our lives, and that's what we've tried to do.
I think you came out of Maranatha Baptist in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine there's a lot of Big Ten coaches that maybe even could find Maranatha Baptist.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about how you ended up at Maranatha Baptist College in Wisconsin.
Yeah, interesting story. My brother, he kind of felt called to go there. You know, he's going to study to be a preacher, and they had a football team there, and also had a wrestling program that was led by Ben Peterson, who was Olympic gold and silver medalist and a strong man of faith, but also a high level wrestling coach, and also Terry Price was the head football coach, and so had a chance to go there and played, you know, small college football and wrestle, but at the same time be around men that I thought were going to be able to influence me in a positive way to help shape me and mold me into what I felt like God was calling me to do, which was to serve him, no matter whether it was in business or in education or whatever. At the time, I didn't really know when I first went there, but just the school actually came through, and like I said, my brother was going there, and once he went there to play, then I would go visit, and it just kind of, the more I would go there to visit, the more I just felt drawn there, and just the people was what really drew me there, just a genuine concern for developing you know, as a man and to serve. And that's really what I was drawn to at Maranatha.
It's kind of ironic. Ben Peterson and his brother actually have both been on Face to Face in recent years.
How about that?
As talking about their testimony, mm-hmm. their strong Christian testimony, the camp they run up there.
That's right. I worked that camp when I was arresting for him.
Really?
I did, yeah.
That's amazing. That's the real irony there. You've moved around a lot over the last 20 years. The challenges of being a football coach and having a family and trying to raise a family in different cities and all the different places. How has God led you in that, in taking care of that? There's got to be a lot of stress on your family and all that moving around.
There is. The moves are hard, you know, and I'll never diminish, you know, that fact, you know. But I will say this, you know, we as a family really felt God calling us into this portion of our lives to pursue the dream that God put in my heart to be a, you know, Division I, you know, head coach maybe one day, or defensive coordinator was my initial goal in the Big Ten. So, you know, my wife made the comment once after we've done it for a few years that, hey, my dream had become their dream. You know, and they just embraced it, and we saw, and she saw, and our kids saw the impact. You know, I was fortunate to be with, you know, several head coaches in college that were strong believers and really had a big ministry focus of being a testimony to our players and having them make spiritual decisions and helping see them grow and disciple them. And so that was, you know, it made those moves. You could see God's hand in those moves and then opening and closing doors and opportunities that were created with those moves. And you never know where it's going to end up. You know, I never dreamed I'd be at Ole Miss. You know, never really had much connection with the SEC from being in the Midwest. But the opportunity to go there was a tremendous opportunity and be with that staff there and then go to South Florida and then come back home to Indiana. You know, so we kind of came full circle, you know, throughout, you know, 7 states in 10 years has been our last 10-year journey. So it's been a pretty amazing path.
And I know that you've been influenced by a number of coaches, Hugh Freeze, a Christian man down at Ole Miss. And is there anybody that particularly that stands out in your years that has had a tremendous influence on you, not just in football, but spiritually?
You know, Chris Creighton would be the first one. He hired me at Wabash College, and he's now the head coach at Eastern Michigan and a strong believer. Matter of fact, we got one of our coaches right now up there with him talking about his leadership program that he's installed in his program there that's going to be something we want to utilize and just has a great testimony and a great passion for service in that area. And then, you know, you mentioned Hugh Freeze, the guy that I really connected with when I was at Ben Davis and he was at Ole Miss, and he came through to recruit and through our connection with Fellowship Christian Athletes, and we worked summer camps together and just to be able to work with him and his passion for impacting young men for Christ was impressive. You know, I just really the ministry focus that he had with his team was what I wanted, and that's what we've tried to model that at different places.
What challenges specifically do you face here at Indiana University that, for instance, I and my listeners can pray for?
You know, I just think, you know, more than anything is you know, we're trying to change the hearts of our players. You know, we have a threefold prayer that I've been praying for our guys. And, you know, we talk about breakthrough here, but we're also talking about breaking through spiritually, you know, to be able to change the hearts of these kids and how they live their lives, you know, and to help them make, like you talk about, make good decisions and live a life that honors the Lord, you know, and how they do what they do. And so the wisdom to do that, you know, we're in the process of, you know, being able to find a chaplain to be able to fulfill, help us with that role, which is huge. So prayer for that is big. And then just the wisdom to be able to help these guys, you know, through life. You know, there's no question here at Indiana, they got a lot of, you know, issues that they got to, you know, deal with off campus, on campus, you know, choices, you know, things that they, positions they put themselves in or not put themselves in. And I just think the wisdom for us to be able to guide them through life and help them through the issues that are going on at home, you know, they can often be negative. Sometimes they're positive, but oftentimes they're not. And so I just think that to be able to be a light for them and a guide for them to show them that what's really important in life is what I want to be able to do.
Coach Tom Allen, thanks for spending time with us. We're out of time here, but just to wrap it up, do you have a favorite verse? I'm sure you've got a number of verses in your mind, but do you have one that stands out?
Yeah, Matthew 6:33 is one that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And to me, it's about putting him first in our lives and allowing him to basically take care of the rest. And we're going to trust him. We're going to honor him. We're going to do everything we can to put him first.
Coach, good luck to you at Indiana, and good luck to you as you influence so many different lives here, both as far as players go and as far as the community that you're in. Thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Head Coach Tom Allen of Indiana University. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face.
Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed our interview with Tom Allen. I'll tell you how God leads. Tom's got some roots in Decatur County, Indiana, where I also have a church and have spent some time over there. And recently I was at a dinner, and at the dinner, two couples came up and sat down at my table. It was kind of just everybody take a seat. And the one couple was at a Gideon's luncheon for Gideon's International, and the one couple was Reuben Kissel and his wife, and the other couple was Sheriff Greg Allen and his wife, and it turns out that they are related to Tom Allen, and I don't think that was a coincidence. We had a chance to talk about Tom, and just one of those things where God works out in completely unique ways. But what an opportunity to spend some time with Tom Allen. You know, it's not always easy to share your faith at a secular university, and yet Tom seems to be able to share that in a way that is not offensive. And I know that one of the things that he wants to do, as he said, is not just to help his players on the field, but to help them off the field. And we know that when you have Jesus Christ in your life, that can certainly be a help. We have coming up our golf tournament, And we hope that you will go to our website. If you're not already there listening to this show, we hope you go to our website at face2faceradio.com. We have a place where you can sign up to be a part of our golf tourney, the 19th annual golf tourney, June the 13th, Otter Creek Golf Course, Columbus, Indiana. And our guest, Austin Parkinson, the former basketball player from Purdue University and now the head women's coach at IUPUI. And we have everything for you. We have lunch, dinner, and just a number of things that I know you're going to enjoy. Of course, we take care of the greens fees and the cart for one of the most beautiful courses in the country, if you ask me. And we've got all kinds of door prizes. We've got prizes, proximity prizes. We've got shirts to give away and balls to give away. We got everything. And we just hope you'll be a part of it. June 13th, $125 cost donation, and we hope that you'll be a part of it. That's at our website at face2faceradio.com. Well, as we close today, we want to take a familiar verse out of the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 5. And here's what it says. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And we certainly know that having Jesus Christ in your life is not just studying religion. It's a life-changing event. And if you've never done that, we hope that even today you will ask the Lord to forgive you as he has already done and accept him into your life and allow him to take control of your life. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.